This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma. We were studying about iman bil-akhirah. Ma yadkhulu fil-imani bil-yawm al-akhir. What is included in iman in the last day? And al-akhirah, the hereafter, our belief concerning that begins with when? The moment of death onwards. Because when a person dies, he has basically entered the realm of the hereafter. Because soon after his death, when a person is placed in his grave, what happens? He is questioned. He is questioned. Three very important questions about his belief in Allah, about his belief in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also about his religion, his way of life, what he practiced. And in different ahadith, different questions have been mentioned, but they essentially are asking about the same thing. So for example, with regards to belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some ahadith we learn that the person will be questioned, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? In other ahadith we learn, a person will be questioned, Ma kunta ta'bud, what is it that you used to worship? Likewise, in another hadith we learn that a person will be questioned, Hal ra'ayta Allah, did you see Allah? You worshipped Allah, did you see Him? And a believer will say, Ma yambaghi li ahadin an yara Allah, it is not possible for anyone to see Allah. Likewise, at the grave, a person will be questioned about his religion. In one hadith we learn, he will be said, مَا دِينُكَ, what was your religion? In another hadith we learn, فِيمَ كُنْتَ, in what were you? Meaning, what did you spend your life doing? What was your way of life? Likewise, a person will be questioned about the Prophet ﷺ. He will be asked, مَنْ نَبِيُّكَ, who is your Prophet? مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, who is this man? مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي كَانَ فِيكُمْ, who was this man who was amongst you? مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, what do you say about that man? مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, what is it that you used to say with respect to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ, who is the man who was sent amongst you? مَا عِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلُ, what is your knowledge about this man? What do you know about him? وَمَاذَا تَشْهَدَ عَلَيْهِ, what do you testify about him? So these are the questions that a person will be asked. Likewise, a person will be informed about his final result. Because a believer, when he will answer these questions, what do we learn from the book? That if he passes the test, then either there will be na'im, there will be eternal reward, or if he does not pass these questions, then what will happen? Eternal punishment. And this eternal na'im, eternal pleasure, and this questioning, what does that show? That a person will be conscious in his grave. Because Umar radiallahu anhu, when he learned about these questions in the grave, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, will we be conscious? Will we have our aql? Meaning, will it be working at that time? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded in the affirmative that, yes, you will be awake, you will be alert, you will feel, you will sense, you will be conscious. Because when we hear about the ahadith that describe the grave, the squeezing of the grave, the questioning that will take place in the grave, the reward in the grave, the punishment in the grave, we think, yeah, it will happen, but, you know, we'll be sleeping. No, we will not be sleeping. We will be awake. We will be alert. And like I mentioned to you earlier, that in the grave, in the hereafter, in the barzakh, the effect is primarily on what? On the soul. And in this life also we feel that what reaches the soul, what affects the soul, really, it surpasses physical experience. Because a physical hurt, physical pain, you can overcome it. You can forget it. You can ignore it. Correct? Physical pleasure also. You forget about it. But what you experience in your heart, when the soul is moved, that feeling, it's much, much stronger. So likewise in the grave, this reward, this punishment, it is real. It will be experienced and a person will be fully awake, fully alert. And a person, he will be shown his, a person who passes the test, he will be shown his abode in the fire. And he will be told that had you not answered these questions correctly, had you not lived as a believer, then this place in the fire would have been your abode. So that a person increases in his gratitude. And on the other hand, a person who is being punished, he will be shown that this would have been your home in paradise, had you obeyed, had you worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person will remain like this in his grave until when? Until the day of judgment. And the second section that we learned was about Al-Qiyamatul Kubra, the greater resurrection, which will begin with the blowing of the trumpet. And what will happen when nufikha fi sur, when the sur will be blown into? All those who are alive shall die. And when the trumpet will be blown the second time, then what will happen? All who are dead will come back to life. Resurrection will take place. And as resurrection will take place, what will happen? People will come out of their graves and they will rush towards the place of gathering. And remember that with the first blowing of the trumpet, what will happen? As we learn in the Quran, what will happen to the mountains? What will happen to the water? What will happen to the earth? What will happen to the moon? What will happen to the sky? All those events will take place. So that the earth is completely flattened. So much so that there is no bend, no curvature, no building, nothing on it. Completely flat. Like a piece of bread. Round piece of bread that is completely flat. And people will be extremely fearful. As we learn, خَاشِعَةً أَبُصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. The eyes will be full of fear. And people will be humbled and the faces will be low. No one will be able to even lift up his face because of extreme fear. وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ. Faces will be bent. Why? Because of الْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eyes will be fearful. يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ خُشَّعًا أَبُصَارُهُمْ. خُشَّعًا أَبُصَارُهُمْ. Looking down. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. People will come out of their graves, rushing towards the sound of the call, as if they were jarad, as if they were moths. Hearts will tremble. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةِ قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ. Hearts will be trembling. Women, females that are pregnant, what will happen out of the fear of the events of the hour as resurrection will occur? They will drop there. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. This fear will be intense. يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. A day that will make children gray-haired. And people will be drowning in their sweat. When is it that people sweat? When they're hot and when they're nervous. When they're nervous. When they're afraid. When they're fearful. So much so that we learn that sweat will be reaching up to the ears of people. And people will have to wait for a very long time for the hisab to begin. How long is that wait? 50,000 years. In a hadith in a silsila sahiha, we learn that Allah will gather all of you. And then people will wait for 50,000 years. ثُمَّ لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ. And Allah will not even look at you. Meaning this entire waiting period of 50,000 years. This will be in a state of extreme fear. In extreme fear. And Allah will not even look at the creation. However, for a believer, the length of that day will be like what? The waiting on that day will be like what? Not that difficult at all. Just as the sun sets. Just like the setting of the sun. Because a person who is used to sabr, a person who is used to spending long hours in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, waiting for Allah is not difficult. For him to spend time in remembering Allah is not difficult. So on the day of judgment also, what will happen? For a believer, the length of the Day of Judgment will feel very, very light. And then eventually, when the Prophet ﷺ will intercede, and the questioning will begin, basically the judgment will begin, وَيُحَاسِبُ اللَّهُ الْخَلَائِقُ Inshallah, we'll begin from here today. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question, He will call to account the khala'iq. Who are the khala'iq? The entire creation. Meaning, those makhluqat, those creatures which are mukallaf. Meaning, which were created for a test, which were responsible. Like, for example, human beings and the jinn. So all people will be questioned. And the exception to this are those who are ghayr mukallaf. Like, for example, a baby that dies. Or, for instance, a person who was not sane. So, such a person will be exempted. Likewise, we learn from hadith that 70,000 people of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter Jannah without hisab and without adab. Without any reckoning, without any accounting, and without any punishment. The jinn, their hisab will also be done. What about the animals? Their qisas will take place, because we learn from hadith that even if a horned animal, it hurt another animal that was not horned, what will happen? Justice will be established, retribution will take place. So hisab, in the sense of being awarded with reward or punishment, that will not happen for the animals. However, retribution shall take place. Why? Why? To show the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because on that day, justice will happen. وَيُحَاسِبُ اللَّهُ الْخَلَائِقُ وَيَخْلُو بِعَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ And Allah will take the believer in private, and He will make him admit his sins. كَمَا وُصِفَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ Just as this has been described in the book and the sunnah. Meaning, the believer will be questioned. وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارِ And as for the disbelievers, meaning their hisab will also happen. Obviously, each person's hisab will be different. The believers, their hisab will happen. The munafiqeen, their hisab will happen. The disbelievers, even their hisab will happen. And within the believers, every believer, his questioning, his hisab will be different. But there are some things that we learn about. That, for instance, every person, he will be questioned about certain things, about his life, about his knowledge, about his wealth, where he spent it, how he acquired it. About his body, what he used it for. Likewise, people will be asked about the blessings that they have enjoyed. For instance, in a hadith we learn that the first blessing a servant will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment, that it will be said to him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, Did I not correct your body for you? Meaning, did I not give you a good, sound body? Did I not make your body sound? Did I not provide you with cool water? So we will be asked about the very body that we have. That how, alhamdulillah, the hand functions properly, the ears function properly. So many systems Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within our bodies. And this body, it can do so many things. So we will be asked about this body that we have been given. About cool water that we enjoy, that we drink. And blessings, no matter how, you know, minor they may be, or how small they may appear to us. Even they will be asked about. So for example, Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he said that when this ayah was revealed, that ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ That you'll be questioned about blessings on that day. Zubayr radiallahu anhu said that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which blessings are we going to be questioned about? Because we basically have just two blessings, al-aswadan, meaning the two black things. We only have water and dates. That's all we have. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَا إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ سَيَكُونُ That yes, you will be questioned about these two things as well. The basic blessings that we enjoy, that we take for granted, we will be questioned about them. How did you get them? What did you do with them? Likewise, we will be questioned about the rights of Allah and the rights of people. For instance, in a hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the son of Adam, مَرِضْتُ I was sick, but you did not come to visit me. I was hungry, but you did not feed me. I was thirsty, but you did not give me water. And the person will say, Oh Allah, how could you be sick, and how could you be hungry, and how could you be thirsty? What will Allah say? That my servant was sick, my servant was hungry, my servant was thirsty. And had you gone to visit him, had you fed him, had you given him water to drink, you would have found me there. Likewise, we learn that a person will be asked about ibadat. The first question that will be asked about ibadat will be concerning what? Concerning salah. And with regards to people's rights, huququl ibad, certain questions will be asked about that also. Hisab will be taken concerning those matters also. And the first hisab that will be taken concerning people's rights will be with respect to life, with regards to bloodshed. Why will salah be the first question with respect to Allah's rights? Because it is the best of bodily acts of worship. And why is it that blood, life, will be the first matter of dispute that will be resolved with respect to people's rights? Why? Because it is the most serious matter. وَيَخْلُو بِعَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the believer in private. This is the description of the believer's hisab. That how will it happen? It will be in private. The believer will be questioned about his blessings. The believer will be questioned about the opportunities that he was given. And a believer will also be questioned about the sins that he committed, about the mistakes that he made. But how will this be? Where will this be? In private. So that no one else finds out about it. No one else finds out what a believer, what that particular believer was questioned about. It will be a secret matter between Allah and his servant. Why? In honor of the servant. Allah will cover him with his cover. Allah will hide him from the creation, such that no third person can see, no third one can hear what is going on in that private conversation. No one will witness it, only Allah and his servant. And this is Allah's favor upon the believer. Because if you are confronted about your mistakes in public, it is embarrassing, it is humiliating, it is frightening. But if you are confronted about your mistakes in privacy, then that is much better. And that is much more honorable also. So Allah will honor the believer in this way. However, what do we learn? That فَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ Allah will make the believer acknowledge his sins. Confirm his sins. Meaning Allah will ask him in private, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you say this? Did you feel like this? And a believer, he will admit his faults. He will admit his faults. I want you to imagine, has it ever happened with you that somebody asks you, did you do this mistake? And you know that you've done it. And the other person also knows that you've done it. Can you lie at that time? Do you wish to lie at that time? Who can we lie before? It's people, right? But can a person lie before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. So the one who admits his faults today, he will be able to admit his faults tomorrow. وَاْتَرَفْتُ بِذَنْبِي Oh Allah, yes, I confess my sins. I admit my sins. I have said wrong things. I have made mistakes. I have done wrong things. I have had feelings that I should not have had. I have said words that I should not have said. I have displayed behavior that I should never have displayed. I have delayed certain good deeds that I should never have delayed. I have left out certain things that I should never have left out. Yes, وَاْتَرَفْتُ بِذَنْبِي So the person who acknowledges today will be able to acknowledge tomorrow also. And the one who will keep on acknowledging, yes, O Allah, I did this, I did this, I did this. What will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say something to him that is so comforting and so pleasing that سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ That I concealed those sins for you in the world, and today I completely forgive you for them. Meaning I will not punish you for them. I will save you from the consequences of your mistakes. In a hadith in a silsila sahiha, we learn that a person will be brought on the day of judgment, meaning for hisab, and it will be said, present his minor sins. Meaning a person will be asked about his minor sins. And his major sins will be concealed from him. Meaning they will not be displayed. He will not be questioned about them. He will not be confronted about them. So the person will be asked, you did this, you made this mistake, you made this mistake, you made this mistake. And he will keep on admitting, confessing. He will not deny. Why? Out of fear that if I deny, then I know the major mistakes that I have made, the major sins that I have committed. I will be questioned about them. So out of this fear, what will he do? He will keep on acknowledging his minor sins. So Allah will say, give him in place of every mistake, a good deed. Replace every sayyi'ah with a hasanah. So the believer will say, oh Allah, I had committed some other sins which I don't find over here. Meaning now he will mention his major sins. He will start talking about his major mistakes in hopes that they will be replaced by good deeds also. وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارُ But as for the disbelievers, فَلَا يُحَاسَبُونَ They will not be reckoned. Meaning their hisab will not be taken. مُحَاسَبَةَ Like the hisab of man, the one who تُوزَنُ It is weighed حَسَنَاتُهُ His good deeds وَسَيِّئَاتُهُ And his sins. Meaning the hisab of the kuffar, how will that be? It will not be like the hisab of the believers. The believer's hisab, how will that be? That his good deeds will be weighed, his sins will be weighed. Correct? He will be informed about his good deeds, his sins. He will be made to acknowledge them, and his deeds will be placed upon the scale, and each deed will be assigned a weight. This is hisab. However, a disbeliever, his good deeds, his sins, they will not be placed on the scale. Why? Because فَإِنَّهُ لَا حَسَنَاتِ لَهُمْ Because they will have no good deeds. A disbeliever, when he will come on the day of judgment, with his actions, will they count as good deeds? No. Why? Because what's the condition of a good deed? It must be with iman. So when a disbeliever did not have iman, then his charity will not be considered a hasana. His good akhlaq will not be considered a hasana. His silatul rahim will not be considered a good deed. His speaking the truth will not be considered a good deed. In fact, what will happen? His deeds will be brought, his sins and his other deeds, they will be brought. And what will happen? His deeds, haba'a mansura, they will be destroyed. They'll be destroyed completely. And his sins, he will be made to acknowledge them. He will be asked about them. You did this, you did this, you did this. And he will acknowledge. Or he will deny, or he will lie. But then what will happen? His body will speak. Public humiliation. In a hadith, we learn that regarding the kuffar and the hypocrites, then their evil acts will be exposed publicly. How will the believer's hisab be taken? In private. A disbeliever, his hisab, a munafiq, his hisab will be taken how? Publicly. And it will be said, these are the people who lied against their Lord. Ala la'natullahi ala al-zalimeen. The curse of Allah be upon the zalim. Public humiliation. In a long hadith of Sahih Muslim, we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin the judgment, He will call a servant and He will say, oh so and so, did I not honor you and make you the chief? Meaning I gave you leadership. And I provided you with a spouse. And I subdued for you horses, camels. And gave you the opportunity to rule over your subjects. The person will say, yes, O Allah, you gave me all of these blessings. It will be said to him, did you not think that you would meet us? He will say, no. No. I did not believe in the akhirah. Then Allah will say, we forget you as you forgot us. Then another person will be brought. He will be reminded of his blessings. And Allah will ask him the same thing. Did you not think that you will meet us? He will say, no. Allah will say, I forget you today as you forgot us. Then a third person will be brought. And Allah will remind him of the blessings that were given to him. And he will admit. And Allah will say, ask him that what did you do? And the person will say, I believed in you. I believed in your book. I believed in your messenger. I performed the prayer. I kept my fasts. I gave charity. And he will keep on going on and on as much as he can about the so-called good deeds that he performed. And Allah will say, we will bring witnesses over you because the person will be lying. Or because he did all of this with nifaq, with hypocrisy. So that person will wonder that who will testify against me? So his mouth will be sealed and his body will speak. His bones will speak. His thighs will speak. His flesh will speak. His blood will speak. And they will testify against him that he is lying. And that is the munafiq with whom Allah will be angry. So the disbeliever, his deeds will not be given any weight. Why? فَإِنَّهُ لَا حَسَنَاتِ لَهُمْ. And the munafiq also, his deeds will not be given any reward, any weight. وَلَكِنْ بَتْ تُعَدُّ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Their deeds will be enumerated. They will be counted. فَتُحْصَى. So they will be counted. فَيُوقَفُونَ عَلَيْهَا. So they will be informed about them. وَيُقَرَّرُونَ بِهَا. And they will be made to acknowledge them. Their deeds will be presented. They will be counted. They will be enumerated. A person will be made to acknowledge. وَيُجْزَوْنَ بِهَا. And they will be recompensed for them as well. And obviously, since there are no good deeds, what remains? Sins. So فَيُجْزَوْنَ بِهَا. They will be punished for those sins. يُجْزَوْنَ in some versions of the book has also been reported as يُخْزَوْنَ. That they will be humiliated because of them. This is the reason why we make dua, رَبَّنَ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. On the day that hisab will take place, O Allah, forgive me, my parents and the believers. Because if a person is not forgiven that day, then how difficult is that hisab? How difficult is that hisab? After this hisab, what will happen? حوض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The حوض of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومكانه and its place. وصفاته and its characteristics. Meaning, when is it that people will arrive at the حوض? When is it that they will drink from it? Because we know that on the Day of Judgment, at some point, people will drink from the water of the حوض. But when exactly? Is it right after the resurrection? No. Is it before the hisab? Is it during the hisab? No. Remember that first resurrection will take place. Then what will happen? Then what will happen? A long wait. Then what will happen? Shafa'a, the Prophet ﷺ will intercede. That judgment begin. And then the hisab will begin. And in this process of hisab, deeds will be weighed. And in this process of hisab, people will be given their records. And in this process of hisab, the believer will be called to account in privacy. And then what will happen when the hisab is done with? Then the people will be taken. Like for example, in hadith we learn that people will be told that each person, that each ummah follow, or each group of people follow the God whom they used to worship. And some people, because they used to do shirk, what will happen? They will be taken directly to hellfire. So the kuffar, what will happen to them? They will go straight to the hellfire. The mushrikeen, they will be taken straight to the hellfire. Then who will remain in the great gathering? Just the believers and the hypocrites. Because they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who truly believed in Allah and worshipped Him, and those who apparently did and in their heart they rejected. They will remain. And then what will happen? They will be taken to the sirat, to the bridge. But before they go to the bridge, they'll be taken to the hawd. So hawdun nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa makanuhu wa sifatuhu. Wa fi arasat al-qiyamati. And in the arasat of qiyamah. In the arasat of qiyamah. What are arasat? The plains of qiyamah. Plural of arasa. It's a vast open space, wide space that is between buildings. This is what the word literally means. An open wide space between buildings. So the arasat of qiyamah, the plains, the places where people will be, where people will stand on the Day of Judgment. So in the arasat of qiyamah is al-hawdu, the hawd, the pond. Al-mawrud, that is prepared. لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ. For the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مَاؤُهُ, its water. أَشَدُّ بَيَاضًا مِّنَ اللَّبَنِ. أَشَدُّ, it will be more, it will be stronger. بَيَاضًا, in whiteness, مِّنَ اللَّبَنِ, than milk. How is its water? Whiter than milk. وَأَحْلَى, and sweeter, مِّنَ الْعَسَلِ, than honey. آنِيَتُهُ, its vessels, its cups. عَدَدُ, the number of. نُجُومِ السَّمَاء, the stars in the sky. طُولُهُ, its length. شَهْرٌ, a month's journey. وَعَرْضُهُ, and its width. شَهْرٌ, a month's journey. مَنْ يَشْرَبْ مِنْهُ, whoever drinks from it. شَرْبَةً, one drink, meaning whoever drinks from it just once. لَمْ يَظْمَأْ بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا, he will never become thirsty after that, ever. لَمْ يَظْمَأْ, he will never be thirsty. بَعْدَهَا, after it. أَبَدًا, ever. This is the brief description of the حَوْض that has been given over here. حَوْض, what is it? حَوْض is basically مَجْمَعُ الْمَاءِ, a place where water has gathered. Like, for example, a pond or a pool where water has gathered. And hawd is basically the pond or the pool where there will be water that belongs to the Prophet ﷺ, meaning that will be given to the Prophet ﷺ. In hadith, we learn that every prophet shall have his own hawd. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوْضًا, for every prophet is a hawd, which means that every prophet will give from his hawd water to drink to who? To those who believed in him, to the believers of his ummah. But the hawd of the Prophet ﷺ is the largest and the most frequented, meaning it will be the most busy. Why? Because those who believe in the Prophet ﷺ are many. The ummah of the Prophet ﷺ is the greatest. This hawd, remember that it is present right now. It will not be created on the Day of Judgment. It is actually present right now. It exists right now. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to the companions at one occasion, that by Allah, I see my hawd right now. And this hadith is in Bukhari. I see my hawd right now. The source of this hawd, where is the water coming from? Where will it gather over there from? It is the river of Al-Kawthar. And Al-Kawthar is a huge river which the Prophet ﷺ shall be given in Jannah. And basically we learn from hadith that there will be two mizaban, two streamlets, okay, two streams that will be cascading water into this hawd from the Kawthar, from the river of Kawthar. And the Prophet ﷺ shall be upon the hawd, meaning he will arrive on the hawd first, in order to welcome his ummah over there, in order to serve his ummah, himself, water. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that mimbari ala hawdi, my mimbar is upon my hawd. So his mimbar will be there, and the Prophet ﷺ will arrive there first. Ana faratukum ala al-hawd. And where is its makan? Where will this hawd be on the Day of Judgment? Right before the sirat, right before the bridge, because people will be in need of a drink before crossing the bridge. They'll be tired, right? From the length of the Day of Judgment, the difficulties of the Day of Judgment, the long events, the so many things that have happened. So they'll be exhausted. But before they cross the bridge, they'll be re-energized. With what? With the water from the hawd. So the hawd is before the sirat. This hawd is extremely beautiful. From hadith we learn that its soil, meaning the soil over which the water is, that soil is like pure musk. And you know what musk is? It's fragrance. But this fragrance originally, how is it? Where does it come from? From deers. Alright? And the original form of this, it literally looks like mud. Like soil. So it looks like soil, but it smells, its fragrance is extremely beautiful. So just imagine, the soil of this hold is like what? Pure musk. Its pebbles like pearls. حَصَاهُ اللُّؤْلُؤْ. Its pebbles like pearls. Its size, how huge is it? From this description that has been given in the book, what is the size of it? Its length, 1 month's journey, and its width, 1 month's journey, which means that it is what shape? A square, because both sides are equal. In hadith we learn that the distance between the two corners of the hawd is like the distance between Sana'a and Medina. A very, very long distance. Sana'a and Medina. Its water. What is it like? What is the kayfiyah of its water? Color? Extremely white. Taste? Sweeter than honey. Fragrance? Better than musk. What about the temperature? Colder than ice. It's cooler than ice. What does it remind you of? Huh? No. What kind of a drink? Just think about it. What drink do we enjoy that is sweet? Isn't it? So this is sweeter than any sweet drink that you've ever had. Its color is also extremely white. Because the color that you see of the drink, that also has an effect, right? On the taste, on how you enjoy it. Likewise, its fragrance, it smells also extremely beautiful. And it is more cold than ice. Just imagine, more cold than ice. When you're tired, because the day of judgment, imagine the sun will be just a meal's length away, right? The word that has been mentioned is a meal. When the sun is so close, imagine how hot the people will be. And when the journey has been so long, imagine how exhausted the people would be. So this drink will be the most comforting drink, the most enjoyable drink. Its cups, how many are they? As the number of stars in the sky. And even in their appearance, they will be like stars. Even in their appearance, they will be like stars, meaning beautiful, like crystal. In hadith we learn that these cups will be like gold and silver. أباريق الذهب والفضة. The cup from which you drink, does that affect the drink? If you drink from a styrofoam cup, what is that like? And if you drink from a plastic cup, what is that like? If you drink from, you know, your regular favorite cup, what is that like? So the cups around this hawd, what are they made of? Gold and silver, and they will look like stars. The effects of its water, meaning when a person will drink from this water, the water of hawd, what effect will it have? That a person will never be thirsty again, neither on the sirat nor after it. Neither on the sirat nor after it, meaning even in Jannah. That feeling of thirst will never come. Which means that in Jannah, when people will drink, they will not drink because they are thirsty. They will drink only for the purpose of enjoyment and pleasure. In Jannah, there is no thirst. There is no hunger. Especially after having this water from the hawd. Also in hadith we learn that a person who drinks from the hawd, وَلَمْ يَسْوَدَّ وَجْهُهُ أَبَدًا. His face shall never become gloomy again. It shall never darken again. Meaning that person, basically he will forget what sadness is, what gloom is. It will bring eternal happiness on his face. And this water, this hawd, it's not just water. In hadith we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was describing the nahr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him in Jannah, meaning the kawthar, the water which will collect in this hawd, he said, فِيهَا طَيْرٌ. In it will be طَيْر, birds. أَعْنَاقُهَا كَأَعْنَاقِ الْجُزُرِ. Whose necks will be like that of camels, basically. Meaning huge birds. Umar رضي الله عنه, when he heard this, he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ لَنَاعِمَةٌ. They must be really good. Meaning even to look at. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you will eat them, they'll be even better. They'll be even better. I mean, just hearing their description, you think, yeah, what a beautiful sight. Looking at them will be beautiful, but tasting them, eating of them, will be even more beautiful. But remember that everyone will not be able to drink from this hawd. Who will arrive at this hawd? The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kuffar, remember, they're already taken to the hellfire. Who remains? The believers and the hypocrites. Only those people who sincerely, truly believe in Allah and His Messenger, who followed the Sharia, will drink from the Hawb. And the person who was too arrogant to follow the law of Allah, or he was too shy to follow it, he will be deprived from it. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ will try to argue on behalf of some people to take permission in order to give them to drink from Hawb, but he will not be allowed. He said, "Wala unazi'anna aqwaman." I will certainly argue, I will fight on behalf of some people that they are from my ummah. Let me give them drink from the Hawb. Thumma la'ughlabanna. But I will be overcome, meaning I will not be allowed to give them to drink. Why? Because of the things that they invented in religion. They invented innovations, and as a result, they will be deprived from the water of Hawb, Hawb Kawthar. Now, there's a very deep connection over here. Those who follow the Sharia will be allowed to drink from the Hawb. And when they will drink from it, they will never be thirsty again. And those who deviate from the law of Allah by abandoning parts of the religion or innovating things in the religion, they will not be able to drink from the Hawb. Even if they arrive at it, they will be turned away. Is there any connection over here? The one who finds the religion complete in this life, fully accepts it, fully adheres to it to the best of his ability, he finds the religion enough. He feels that the religion is completely satisfying, so he doesn't turn to other things for conviction, for faith. He believes that the Quran and Sunnah are sufficient. They are enough. Then he will be given this satisfaction in a physical form on the Day of Judgment, with that Hawd Kawthar, with that water, because of which he will never feel thirsty again. And the one who feels that the deen is not complete, it is not satisfying, it doesn't satisfy his mind, his feelings, it doesn't answer his questions, it doesn't remove his doubts, then such a person will be deprived from the Hawd, even in the hereafter. And the Sahaba, they were so firm about their belief in this Hawd that we learned that once a man, he asked one of the companions about the Hawd, that is it really there? I mean, is it really true? He had shak. So that companion, he replied that فَمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِهِ فَلَا سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْهُ. Whoever denies the Hawd, Allah will never let him drink from the Hawd. So if we want to drink from the Hawd, what's the first step? Believe in it. What's the second step? Embrace the religion wholeheartedly, happily, completely. Don't pick and choose. Yes, there are matters that are difficult, that we struggle with at a personal level. You know, personally we struggle with them. But still, accept wholeheartedly that, Ya Allah, You commanded this. I love it, but I find it difficult to do. You give me the strength. Likewise, following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ also, and not deviating from it. The closer a person is to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ today, in this life, the closer he will be to him on the Day of Judgment at the Hawd, and the Prophet ﷺ will give him water to drink. Imagine, the Prophet ﷺ giving water to drink in a cup that is so beautiful, water that is so fragrant and so good and so tasty, so delicious, that if a person drinks from it, he'll never be thirsty again. The next is as-siratu, the bridge. وَمَعْنَاهُ and its meaning. وَمَكَانُهُ and its place. وَصِفَةُ مُرُورِ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ and the description of مُرُورِ النَّاسِ. مُرُور, passing. النَّاسِ, people, عَلَيْهِ on it. Meaning, how is it that people will cross the bridge? Its description. That description is given over here. He says, وَالصِّرَاطُ and the bridge, it is mansubun. It is mansub, meaning it is placed, it is fixed. Where is it located? It is mansub ala over matni jahannam. The matn, meaning the back of hellfire. In other words, the sirat, this bridge, it is over what? It is over the hellfire. وَهُوَ الْجِسْرُ and it is the bridge الَّذِي which بَيْنَ between الْجَنَّةِ paradise وَالنَّارِ and the fire. meaning this bridge is over hellfire. As people will cross it, what will be under them? The fire of hell. And once they cross it, once they go to the other side, what is on the other side? Jannah. Which means that any person who wishes to go to Jannah, what does he have to do? He has to cross this bridge. And this is the reason why in the Quran we learn, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. There is none among you except that he will arrive at it. Arrive at what? Hellfire. Every person will arrive at hellfire. And this is a promise, حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. A promise that will be fulfilled. Meaning no person will be spared. Every person will be brought to the hellfire. Some will be made to cross over the hellfire, and some, what will happen? They will fall in the hellfire. Meaning the disbelievers will be taken directly to the hellfire. They will not be even given the chance to cross the bridge. But those who do cross the bridge, some will cross it and others will fall into it. وَالصِّرَاطُ مَنْصُوبٌ عَلَى مَتْنِ جَهَنَّمْ وَهُوَ الْجِسْرُ الَّذِي بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. What kind of a bridge is it? In a hadith we learn that it is very, very narrow. How narrow? Thinner, finer than a hair. Finer than a hair. How fine is your hair? It's finer than your pen. It's thinner than your finger. This bridge is thinner than a strand of hair. And it's sharp. Sharp. Sharper than what? Than a sword. In hadith we learn that when the bridge will be placed over the hellfire, the angels will ask, O Allah, who will you make to cross this bridge? Who's going to be able to cross this bridge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, whoever I wish from among my creation. They will say, Subhanaka ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. Perfect are you, glorified are you. We have not worshipped you the way you deserve to be worshipped. A bridge is over something. And this bridge is over hellfire. يَمُرُّ النَّاسُ. People will pass. People will walk. عَلَيْهِ. Upon it. عَلَى. According to. قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. عَلَى قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. According to the extent of their deeds. Meaning, they will cross the bridge proportional to their deeds. Meaning, the way their deeds were, that is how they will cross the bridge. In other words, their speed will be determined by their deeds. Whether or not they will successfully cross the bridge, that is determined by what? Their deeds. يَمُرُّ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ عَلَى قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. And annas over here doesn't mean all people. It means those who believe. Because the kuffar were already taken to the hellfire. Now remember that in Surah Al-Hadid we learn that on the Day of Judgment there will also be darkness. There will be darkness. Where will this darkness be? Right before the bridge. Because remember that the believers and the hypocrites, until now, they are together. Right before the bridge, there will be darkness. And each person will be given light and speed according to his deeds. According to his deeds. And remember that the hypocrites at that time, what will they do? They will ask the believers, please wait for us and let us share some of your light. We were with you. So they will try to benefit from the light of the believers. But will they be able to? No. So, people will cross the bridge. And the speed of each person will be determined by his deeds. فَمِنْهُمْ. So among them, مَنْ يَمُرُّ كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. Is the one who will pass, who will walk, who will cross the bridge, كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. Like the blink of the eye. Just imagine, blinking the eyes, how long does it take? How long does it take? Less than a second. Just imagine, so quickly some people will pass, that in less than blink of the eye, they will be over the bridge, you know, from one side to the other. وَمِنْهُمْ. And among them, مَنْ يَمُرُّكَ الْبَرْقِ. is like the one who will pass like the speed of lightning. As I was reflecting on lamh al-basar, you know, you think about different words. And the word that came to my mind, lamh al-basar, blink of the eye, flash, like in a flash. But then I read, yamurru kal-barq, that there is a difference between flash of lightning and blinking of the eye. There will be a difference. وَمِنْهُمْ and among them, مَنْ يَمُرُّ كَالْرِيحِ is the one who will pass as quickly as wind. Fast wind. How fast can wind be? How fast can wind blow? Really, really fast. It is said that the fastest wind speed not related to tornadoes that has ever been recorded was in 1996. And it was 408 kilometers an hour. 408 kilometers an hour in Australia. So wind can blow really fast. And air travel, I mean, that's basically what? Wind, right? Movement in the air. Just like wind is movement in the air. So, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمُرُّكَ الرِّيحِ وَمِنْهُمْ and among them مَنْ يَمُرُّكَ الْفَرَسِ الْجَوَادِ is the one who will pass like faras. Faras, horses. What kind of horses? Jawad. Very fast. وَمِنْهُمْ and among them مَنْ يَمُرُّ is the one who will pass كَرِكَابِ الْإِبِلِ like a camel rider. And that is slower than a running horse. وَمِنْهُمْ and among them مَنْ يَعْدُو عَدْوًا the one who will race. عَدْوًا meaning he'll be running as fast as he can. Like an average person running really fast. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِيَ مَشْيًا and among them are those who will walk like a person walks. Walking speed. He won't be able to run, even if he tried. وَمِنْهُمْ and among them مَنْ يَزْحَفُ the one who will crawl, because he won't be able to walk. زَحْفًا, crawling. وَمِنْهُمْ and among them مَنْ يُخْطَفُ خَطْفًا is someone who will be snatched. Among them will be those who will be snatched. In a snatch. وَيُلْقَى and when they'll be snatched, they'll be thrown فِي جَهَنَّمْ in hellfire. Why? Because فَإِنَّ الْجِسْرَ because indeed the bridge عَلَيْهِ upon it are كَلَالِيب hooks, sharp hooks that will تَخْطِفُ النَّاسَ that will snatch the people بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ according to their deeds. So what do we learn over here? That each person will cross the bridge. How fast? The speed will be determined by his actions. Which means that on that day, speed will be beyond a person's control. A person will not be able to make himself move faster, run faster. He won't be able to accelerate that day. Right now, we do have control over that speed. We can accelerate now. And if we accelerate now, on the bridge we can also accelerate. But if we choose to slow down now, then on the bridge also, we will be slow. How is it that a person can accelerate now? His good deeds. The more a person hastens and rushes in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more quickly a person accepts the laws of Allah in this life, the more quickly he accepts what the Messenger has brought in this life, the more quickly he accepts what Allah has commanded, the more quickly he will cross the sirat. And whoever delays, slows down here, he will slow down over there also. And while people will be crossing the bridge, someone who is crawling, what will happen? يُخْطَفُ, he'll be seized. Seized quickly, snatched. إِلَّا مَنْ خَطِفَ الْخَطْفَ what is خَطْفَ? That when something just comes and quickly snatches something away from you. Like for example, you have something in your hand and all of a sudden a bird comes from nowhere and snatches what was in your hand in an instant. And you don't even realize where it came from and where it went and what happened. Likewise, people will be crawling over the bridge and what will happen? Kalalib, hooks. They will grab the people and throw them into hellfire. Kalalib, hooks. You know, like an excavator, it has this grapple. And with it, it basically, you know, grabs things. Likewise, kalalib. Imagine hooks, huge hooks coming from the sides of the bridge, reaching out for people. And as they're crawling to cross the bridge, they'll be grabbed and thrown into the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the sides of the path, meaning on the sides of the sirat, on the edges, there are hooks that are suspended, ready to catch anyone whom they are required to catch. Ready to catch anyone whom they are required to catch. Meaning no one can avoid those hooks. Someone who is bound to be caught by them, he will definitely be caught by them. In another hadith we learn that تُرْسَلُ الْأَمَانَةُ وَالرَّحِيمُ. Amana and rahim. What is amana? Trustworthiness. Trust. Responsibility is also amana. Responsibilities that we have. Amana and rahim. What is rahim? The womb. And what does that signify? Blood relationships. Family ties. It will be sent. Both will be sent. فَتَقُومَانِ. And they both will stand on the sides of the sirat. يَمِينًا وَشِمَانًا. On the right and on the left. And these two will come in the form of hooks, grabbing those who neglected them. Grabbing those who neglected their responsibility, who neglected their trusts, who neglected their relatives. And people will fall in hellfire. Like how? Like moths. In hadith we learn literally, people will fall in the hellfire like moths. Meaning, many people will arrive at the bridge. And many people will attempt to cross it. But everyone will not be able to cross the bridge. Many people will fall into the hellfire. Why? Why? Because of their neglect. Because of their deeds. Because of their sins. And in hellfire, they'll be punished. But remember that when they'll be thrown into the hellfire and they'll be punished, what will be spared of their bodies? What is it that will not be consumed by the fire? The bones on which sujood is done. That will be spared. The Prophet ﷺ said that people will be crossing the bridge. And on the sides, there will be angels. Meaning angels will stand by and watch people cross the bridge. And the angels will say, Allahumma sallim, sallim. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, your Prophet will stand at the bridge and he will say, Rabbi sallim, sallim. Meaning when he will watch the people crossing and falling and some people going so fast and some people going so slow, he will worry for his ummah and he will say, Rabbi sallim, sallim. Keep the people safe. This is why, Rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. O Allah, complete, perfect our light for us. Because the one who will have light on the bridge, he will be able to cross successfully. Then the next is Al-Qantaratu bayn al-Jannati wal-Nari. Al-Qantara, another bridge. Between where? Between the Jannah and the hellfire. He says, فَمَنْ مَرَّ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. Whoever passes the sirat, whoever goes over the sirat, whoever crosses the sirat, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He will enter Jannah. The one who successfully goes over the sirat, he will be able to enter paradise. فَإِذَا عَبَرُوا عَلَيْهِ. When they will cross the bridge, وُقِفُوا. They will be stopped. عَلَى قَنْطَرَةٍ. Upon a bridge. قَنْطَرَة is also a bridge, but it will be a smaller bridge. The previous bridge, the sirat, where is that? Over hellfire. This bridge is where? بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. Between Jannah and Naar. And why will people be stopped over here? فَيُقْتَصُ لِبَعْضِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْضِ. فَيُقْتَصُ. Then qisas will be taken. Meaning retribution will be taken. Revenge will be taken. لِبَعْضِهِمْ. For some of them. مِنْ بَعْضٍ. From others. فَإِذَا هُذِّبُ. Then when they are cleansed, they are disciplined, wanuqu, and they are purified, udhina lahum fi dukhul al-jannah. Then they will be allowed to enter Jannah. Meaning they will not be allowed to enter Jannah until they are cleansed and they are purified. Now what do we see? That the journey to Jannah, it's not a small journey. It's a very long journey. You would think that somehow you can avoid the sirat. But no, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. And even after crossing that sirat, it's not over. You still have to face something. You still have to leave something. You will still be examined. And then a person will be allowed to enter Jannah. When? after this qisas. What is this qisas? This qisas, this retribution, will be different from the one that took place earlier in the arasat of qiyamah. Meaning before, when the hisab was, there was qisas, because justice will be established. If one person oppressed the other, justice will be established. Each person will be given his right. And each person will be given his share of punishment for the oppression that he committed. However, over here, this qisas will be for a different reason. This will be for the purpose of removing any ill feelings, any grudges, any deeply rooted spite, which is in the heart, which has, you know, become very deep in the hearts of people. So this is the place of cleanliness and purification, basically. Because remember that what is in the heart, meaning the feelings that keep coming in your heart that you don't have absolute control over, then for that qisas will not be taken earlier. But retribution will be taken earlier during hisab for what? For what a person did have control over. And what is that? His words and his actions. But what is in the heart, the feelings, they will be dealt with later on. And also remember that just because retribution took place, it doesn't mean that it will clean your heart. You understand what I mean? That, for example, if someone has been unfair to you, okay, they abused you. During the hisab, justice will be established. Revenge will happen. However, no matter how much revenge you are allowed to take, does that really satisfy your heart? No. It doesn't. Like, for example, in this world also, it happens that someone oppresses you and they say sorry to you 100 times and they try to make up for it. But what do you say? I'm sorry. No matter how much I try, I cannot get over it. I forgive you, I think, but I'm not sure, because I'm still hurting here. I'm still angry at you. I will try to forgive you, but I don't have any control over my heart. And you see, the Prophet ﷺ also, what did he say to that man who killed his uncle? I forgive you, but don't come in front of me. Don't let me see your face. Right? So, as human beings, we have control over our actions, our words, but the matter of heart, sometimes it is beyond us. But the thing is that people cannot go into Jannah with hard feelings. People cannot enter Jannah with bad feelings. No. Each person's heart has to be clean and pure in Jannah. Why? Because then Jannah won't be Jannah. If you haven't forgiven somebody, are you at peace? Are you happy? If you cannot forget what someone did to you 15 years ago, can you relax? Can you enjoy? No. You can't. This is why we talk about this, right? That a person who is angry, a person who is jealous, a person who is not forgiving the other person, he will suffer first, right? Because he has imprisoned himself. So in this life, you try to overcome those feelings. And this is the reason why you control your actions, you control your words. But you can't completely wash your heart. That's beyond you. But how can you enter Jannah with an ailing heart? How can you enter Jannah with a heart that is full of ill feelings? You can't. Because if you do, then how can you be happy? Can you be happy? So this is the reason why hearts will be cleaned. Where? At the point of qantara. And when the hearts will be cleaned, then people will be allowed to enter Jannah. So what does that mean? That we have to be ready for this purification. Because sometimes we ourselves don't want to overcome certain feelings. We dwell upon them. We entertain them. We talk about them. Isn't it? So we have to let go of them first. We have to be willing to overcome them. Because if you want to hold on to those bad feelings, you can't enter Jannah. When you will leave them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also help you. And He will also clean your heart. And once the heart is clean, then you can enter Jannah. And this is a very serious matter. Because in this life, we must constantly strive to clean our hearts. And look at the beautiful words. فَإِذَا هُذِّبُوا وَنُقُوا. When their tahdhib is done and their tanqiyah is done. What is tahdhib? What is tahdhib? That when someone is disciplined, trained, meaning the heart is disciplined, the enmity, the fire of rage, and the fire of jealousy, and those bad memories, when they are erased, and a person is cleansed, then he will be allowed to enter Jannah. The journey is still not over. When people will arrive at the gates of Jannah, then can they enter Jannah immediately? No. The gates of Jannah will be closed. Awwalu, first, man, the one who, yastaftihu, he will seek to have opened, he will request the opening of what? Bab al-Jannah, the gate of Jannah. Wa awwalu, and first, man who, yadkhuluha, who will enter it. Wa shafa'atun nabiyyi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the intercessions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, wa awwalu, and the first person, man who, yastaftihu, yastaftihu istiftah, who will request that fath be done. Who will request, who will ask that it is opened. What is opened? Bab al-Jannah, the gate of Jannah. Who will that person be? Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning he will be the first one to arrive at the gates of paradise, and the first one to knock at the gates of paradise, and the first one to request that the gates of paradise be opened up. وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ, and the first of those who will enter Jannah from among the nations will be أُمَّتُهُ, his ummah. Meaning Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter Jannah first. In hadith we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will arrive at the gate of paradise and request that it be opened. He will knock and he will request that the gates of Jannah be opened. The keeper of the gates of Jannah, he will say, who are you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, I was commanded to not open the gate for anyone before you. So he will be the first one for whom the gates of Jannah will be opened. And then what will happen? People will follow him into Jannah. And this is a huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you think about it, his first intercession in the plains of Qiyamah will be what? For the judgment to begin. Why? So that the worry, the anxiety, the distress that the people are in, that is removed, that is taken away from them. And now over here, he will be the first to request entry into paradise. Why? So that people can get what they want. People can reach their final destination. His final intercession will be to bring joy and happiness to the people. And we see that there is no entry into paradise except after the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. Because when the people will arrive, the gates will be closed. The Prophet ﷺ will knock. He will take permission. Then the gates will be open. And then people will enter. So the ihsan of the Prophet ﷺ upon us is not just here, that he taught us what to do, how to worship, but also on the Day of Judgment, that he will knock on the door of Jannah so that the people may enter Jannah. وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ أُمَّتُهُ. And this is what has been reported in Bukhari and Muslim, that we are the last nation, but we will be the first ones in the hereafter and the first ones to enter Jannah also. Now over here, the gates of Jannah have not been described. They have not been mentioned. How many are they? Eight gates of paradise. As the Prophet ﷺ said about the one who performs his wudu well, and then he says the shahada, that he said, إِلَّا فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ, except that all eight gates of paradise are opened up for him, and he can enter Jannah from any gate. And each of these gates of Jannah will be according to what? The deeds of people. Meaning, people of Salah will be called by the gate of Salah. The people of Sadaqah will be called by the gate of Sadaqah. People of fasting will be called by the gate of fasting. Because every person does not specialize, in every field. We don't reach the level of excellence in every matter. One person, he excels, you know, in one particular field, in one particular act of worship. He holds on to it. He does his best, you know, to go further and further in it, to go higher and higher in it. So each person will be called from that particular gate. The deed which he excelled in, the deed that he performed with ihsan, with consistency. And some people will be called from all gates of paradise. وَلَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And for the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فِي الْقِيَامَةِ In the hereafter, there will be ثَلَاثُ Three شَفَاعَات Intercessions. Meaning the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ shall intercede three times on the Day of Judgment in the hereafter. أَمَّا الشَّفَاعَةُ الْأُولَى As for the first intercession, what will that be? فَيَشْفَعُ He will intercede في أهل الموقف for the people in the موقف. موقف is from وقوف. What does وقوف mean? To stand. وقوف عرفة. The standing at عرفة. So أهل الموقف meaning the people of the place of standing. Meaning the حشر where people will be gathered. And they will wait for 50,000 years. Then what will happen? حتى until يقضى. Judgment is made. بينهم between them. بَعْدَ after, أَنْ ذَا يَتَرَاجَعَ He has declined. Who? الْأَنْبِيَاءُ The prophets. Because what will happen on the Day of Judgment? People will wait for so long, and then they will say to their prophets, that, O Prophet, do something for us. Please, do something so that the judgment will begin. But each prophet, what will he say? My Lord is very angry today, and I made a major mistake. So, go to somebody else, go to somebody else, go to somebody else. So Adam alayhi salam, first people will go to him that you are our father. Allah created you with his own hands. He made you stay in Jannah. Please do something for us that the judgment will begin. But Adam alayhi salam will refuse and he will say, no, I cannot. So people will go to Nuh alayhi salam. And then they will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. They will go to Musa alayhi salam. They will go to Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. They will go to all of these prophets. But what will they do? يَتَرَاجِعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ Each of these prophets will refuse. عَنِ الشَّفَاعَةِ From intercession. They will say, no. We don't have the courage to speak today. We cannot ask Allah to begin the judgment today. We are too afraid. So what will happen? حَتَّى Until تَنْتَهِيَ إِلَيْهِ It ends at him. At who? At Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning finally the people will come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will request him to request Allah to begin the judgment. And what will happen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will fall in prostration, and he will praise and glorify Allah. Maqam al-Mahmud, he will be at that station of Hamd. He will be placed at, and Allah subhanahu wa taala will say to him that ask, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will request that judgment begin, and the judgment will begin. So this is the first shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Notice that all of these prophets, who are they? Ulul Azm. They are Ulul Azm, the greatest of the prophets. The prophets who had a lot of determination. And when they had a lot of determination, a lot of courage, a lot of patience, that means their rank near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very high. However, on that day, even they will be afraid. So afraid that they won't be able to ask Allah to begin the judgment. Only who will? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will. And this shafa'a is called shafa'atul uzma or shafa'atul kubra. So this is the first shafa'a. Wa amma shafa'atu thaniyatu. And as for the second shafa'a that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be allowed to make, the second intercession, what is that? Fayashfa'u. So he will intercede fi ahli al-jannati an yadkhulu al-jannata. It will be for the people of Jannah that they be allowed to enter Jannah. Because remember, when people will arrive at the gates of Jannah, over the Sirat, over the Qantara, hearts are clean, now they'll be made to wait. Because in the Qur'an, what do we learn? That, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا Meaning, there will be a break over there. Not that as soon as they will arrive, the gates will be opened. Whereas for hellfire, there is no wa. They will find the gates of hellfire open. But the believers, when they will arrive at the gates of Jannah, they will find the gates closed. So the Prophet ﷺ will come and intercede that the people يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَهَاتَانِ. And these two are الشَّفَاعَتَانِ, two intercessions that are خَاصَّتَانِ لَهُ, that are exclusively for him, specifically for him. Meaning no one will be able to make these intercessions except for who? Except for who? The Prophet ﷺ. وَأَمَّا الشَّفَاعَةُ الثَّالِثَةُ, as for the third intercession, فَيَشْفَعُ. So he will intercede, who? فِي مَن, concerning those who, اِسْتَحَقَّ النَّارُ, who deserve the hellfire. The third intercession will be for who? For those who deserve the hellfire. وَهَذِهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ لَهُ, and this shafa'ah is for him, meaning he will do this shafa'ah, he will make this intercession for who? For those who deserve the hellfire. But this is not specific to him. Others will also be allowed to do this intercession. Who? وَلِسَائِرِ النَّبِيِّينَ, and the rest of the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, and the truthful. وَغَيْرِهِمْ, and others. So what do we learn? That two shafa'at are exclusively for the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning no one will be able to do that intercession but him. Which one? Shafa'atul Kubra. And the second one? For entry into paradise. And the third kind of intercession, which is for people who deserve the hellfire, then this intercession will be done by who? The Prophet ﷺ. What intercession? That they be not thrown into hellfire, or those who have already been thrown into hellfire, that they be taken out of the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ will make this intercession, and who? The rest of the prophets, as well as the Siddiqeen, the truthful, وغيرهم, and also others. In hadith we learn that the shaheed, he will also be allowed to intercede. For who? 70 people of his family. Imagine. 70 من أهل بيته. Likewise, we learn that حامل القرآن, the carrier of the Qur'an, he will also be allowed to intercede for people. Likewise, صالحين, the righteous, they will also be allowed to intercede. And this is honor for them. This is honor for them. The Prophet ﷺ, he will intercede also, as we learn over here. For who? For those who deserve the hellfire. Like, for example, in hadith we learn that شَفَاعَتِي لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي, I will be allowed to intercede for those people of my ummah who have committed kaba'ir, meaning major sins. Likewise, in a hadith we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that the people of this ummah, the people who face this qibla, of this min ahli hadhihi al-qibla, the people of this qibla, they will fall into hellfire, so many of them that their numbers cannot be counted. Because like I mentioned to you earlier, from the sirat, people will fall in the fire like what? Like moths. Like moths. Why? Because of the fact that they disobeyed Allah. And they committed acts of disobedience. They opposed His ta'a, meaning the commands that Allah gave, they opposed them. So they will be deserving of hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ will be allowed to intercede for them. And he will intercede for them. And thus, they will be brought out of the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَخْرُجُ قَوْمٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ بِشَفَاعَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. People will come out of the hellfire on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because of the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ. And we learn that even the believers, they will intercede. The people of Jannah, once they will enter Jannah, they will intercede for those who deserve the hellfire. Because a believer, he's concerned about his believing brothers and sisters, isn't he? There's a bond of brotherhood, right? So even when a believer will enter Jannah, he will remember his believing brothers and sisters. And what will he do? We learn that when the people will enter Jannah, and they will notice that some of their brothers are missing, they will say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِخْوَانُنَا كَانُوا يُصَلُّونَ مَعَنَا. They used to pray with us. وَيَصُومُونَ مَعَنَا. They would fast with us. وَيَعْمَلُونَ مَعَنَا. And they would do good things with us. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِذْهَبُوا. Allah will say, go. فَمَنْ وَجَدْتُمْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ دِينَارٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ فَأَخْرِجُوهُ. Whoever you find in the fire of hell, and he has iman, even as much as a dinar, bring him out of the fire. And then half a dinar, because the believers will keep on interceding. The people of Jannah will keep on interceding. That, Ya Allah, there's still more believers in hellfire. They will keep requesting until even a person who has the slightest amount of faith in his heart, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةً مِثْقَالَ نِصْفِ دِينَارِ, even he will be taken out of the hellfire. Why? Because of the intercession that the people of Jannah will do. فَيَشْفَعُ, so he will intercede, فِيمَن, for those who استحقوا النار, who deserves the fire, أَلَّا يَدْخُلَهَا, that he does not enter it. That, for instance, when it is said about a particular individual that he is doomed to the fire of hell, he must fall into the fire of hell, the Prophet ﷺ will intercede, and that person will be saved from falling into hellfire. وَيَشْفَعُ فِيمَن دَخَلَهَا أَن يَخْرُجَ مِنْهَا, and he will also intercede for those who have already entered it, meaning who fell into the hellfire. أَن يَخْرُجَ مِنْهَا, that they be taken out of the hellfire. إِخْرَاجُ بَعْضِ الْعُصَاتِ مِنَ النَّارِ. إِخْرَاج, what does إِخْرَاج mean? To bring out. How they'll be brought out. Who? بَعْضِ الْعُصَاتِ, some of the disobedient ones. مِنَ النَّارِ, from the hellfire. بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, with the mercy of Allah. بِغَيْرِ شَفَاعَةٍ, without any intercession. وَاتِّسَاعُ الْجَنَّةِ, and the vastness of Jannah. عَنْ أَهْلِهَا, from its inhabitants. Meaning, so vast it is, that even when its inhabitants will enter, the people of Jannah will enter, still Jannah will be, parts of Jannah will be uninhabited. He says, وَيُخْرِجُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ النَّارِ أَقْوَامًا, Allah will bring out from the fire أَقْوَامًا, certain people, certain groups. How? بِغَيْرِ شَفَاعَةٍ, without any intercession. What does this mean? That after people will cross the قَنْطَرَةً and their hearts are cleansed, the Prophet ﷺ will knock on the gate of Jannah. He will intercede that people be allowed to enter Jannah. And then people enter Jannah. What will happen? Shafa'ah will take place for those who are in hellfire, that they be brought out. So the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for some people, that they be brought out of the hellfire. They will intercede. They will be brought out. Angels will intercede. Other prophets will intercede. People of Jannah will intercede. But then there will be some people for whom no person interceded for. No angel interceded for them. No one did shafa'ah for them. You know who will take them out? Allah will take them out. بِغَيْرِ شَفَاعَةٍ, without any intercession. بَلْ rather بِفَضْلِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ, because of His fadl, His grace and His mercy. Only because of His favor and His mercy, those people will be brought out of the hellfire. In hadith we learn that angels will intercede, prophets will intercede, believers will intercede. وَلَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, and none will remain except the one who is the most merciful. Meaning, he will not have initiated anything in order to take people out of the hellfire yet. You understand? Angels tried, okay, people were taken out. Believers tried, okay, people were taken out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't do anything as such up until this point to take people out of the hellfire. So what will happen? What will He do? فَيَقْبِضُ قَبْضَةً مِنَ النَّارِ, so Allah will take a handful of fire. فَيُخْرِجُ مِنْهَا قَوْمًا, and He will take out from it some people. Meaning who were deserving of hellfire. He will take them out. And then He will admit them into Jannah. Who interceded for them? Nobody. Who wept for them? Nobody. Who had mercy on them? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they'll be taken out of the hellfire, we learn that their bodies will be dipped into the water of life, right? And then their bodies will grow, just as a plant grows from a seed. And وَيُكْتَبُ بَيْنَ أَعْيُنِهِمْ, between their eyes, these people will be taken out of the hellfire, between their eyes it will be written, عُتَقَاءُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, those who were set free by Allah. So then these people will be taken into Jannah, and then they'll be admitted into Jannah, and the people of Jannah will call them جَهَنَّمِيُّونَ. That yeah, these are the people who were brought out of hellfire. فَيَقُولُ الْجَبَّارُ, so the Jabbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will say, بَلْ هَؤُلَاءِ عُتَقَاءُ الْجَبَّارِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Don't call them جَهَنَّمِيُّونَ. They are those who were set free by Jabbar, عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Meaning don't even use a word, a term that is derogatory. Because Allah has taken them out of the hellfire. He has freed them from the fire of hell, not because of any person's intercession or any person's supplication, only because of Allah's mercy. Only because of His mercy. وَيَبْقَى فِي الْجَنَّةِ And there will remain in Jannah. فَضْلٌ Extra. Extra as in extra places. عَمَّنْ دَخَلَهَا From those who inhabited them. Meaning, they'll be extra and no one will have inhabited them. Because the people who will inhabit Jannah, they have so much space that there is extra space in Jannah. So what will happen? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause the size of Jannah to reduce and shrink? No. What will happen? فَيُنْشِئُ اللَّهُ لَهَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا From the people of dunya, meaning no people of dunya will have inhabited those places in paradise. So they'll be empty, they'll be vacant. So فَيُنْشِئُ اللَّهُ لَهَا Then Allah will create, Allah will produce for it أَقْوَامًا people. فَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ And He will admit them into Jannah. How fortunate are those people who never saw this world and its tests and its trials, simply created on the Day of Judgment to fill paradise. Because hellfire, we learned that it will keep saying, Hal min mazid, hal min mazid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place His foot upon it and cause it to shrink. Right? Meaning then the hellfire will shrink in size. But Jannah will not be reduced in size. It will remain the same. However, Allah will create people in order to admit into Jannah. Because think about it. So many people, they wish they had, for example, more children. Or more relatives, but they don't have them here in this world. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with families, bigger families, more friends, more companions. And where are they? Where will they come from? Yunshi'u, completely new creation. Pure. The children of this world, what happens to them? They get dirty in this world. Don't they? But imagine, the children that will be given in Jannah, how will they be? Clean and pure and beautiful. فَيُنْشِئُ اللَّهُ لَهَا أَقْوَامًا فَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ This is how vast Allah's mercy is. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Your Lord has prescribed mercy on Himself. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي My mercy surpasses my anger. وَأَصْنَافُ And types, meaning there are other various categories. مَا تَضَمَّنَتْهُ Which is included in what? الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ The home of the hereafter. Meaning there is much more detail that is part of the home of the hereafter of what مِنَ الْحِسَابِ Of hisab, وَالثَّوَابِ And reward, وَالْعِقَابِ And punishment, وَالْجَنَّةِ And paradise, والنار, and hellfire. وَتَفَاصِيلُ ذَلِكَ And the details of that, or مَذْكُورٌ, they are mentioned. Where? فِي الْكُتُبِ In the scriptures. Which scriptures? الْمُنَزَّلَةِ That have been revealed. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ From the sky. Meaning in divine scriptures. وَالْآثَارِ And the narrations, meaning in the reports, مِنَ الْعِلْمِ Of knowledge that is الْمَأْثُورِ That has been reported عن الْأَنْبِيَاء From the prophets. Meaning this knowledge of the hereafter, its details, They were given to all the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Isa alaihi salam, and before him all the prophets. And this belief in afterlife, we see that this is not just a belief that Muslims have, but all people who follow some kind of divine scripture, they have this belief in afterlife, right? So the details of that are found in the scriptures. However, remember that when something confirms the Qur'an, or when something is according to what is mentioned in the Qur'an and Sunnah, then we accept it. But when something contradicts it, then that is where we have to remain silent. Right? Or when something is, you know, mentioned which we don't learn about from the Qur'an and Sunnah, then we have to remain silent. We neither deny it, nor do we affirm it. But the point that is being made over here is that belief in the Akhirah, this is found not just in the Qur'an, but also its mention is found in other scriptures. وَفِي الْعِلْمِ الْمَوْرُوثِ And in the knowledge that has been inherited عَنْ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ From the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ About this matter, meaning about iman bil-akhirah, It is truly ma yashfi wa yakfi. It is that which yashfi, it satisfies. Wa yakfi, and it suffices. فَمَنْ اِبْتَغَاهُ So whoever searches for it, وَجَدَهُ He will find it. Meaning, the Qur'an and Sunnah, the details that they give us about the Day of Judgment, about the matters of the Akhirah, those details, how are they? مَا يَشْفِي وَيَكْفِي It is truly satisfying and it is sufficient. So you don't need to look elsewhere in order to know about what will happen on the Day of Judgment. Whoever wishes to learn about the details of the Day of Judgment, وَجَدَهُ He will find it. And with this, alhamdulillah, we conclude the second major chapter of this book, which is Iman bil-Akhirah. And the second one is Al-Iman bil-Qadari. Did you receive a handout today? What is it, this handout? What does it have? The stages of the hereafter. The various events that will happen, the various steps that a person has to go through in order to reach his destination in paradise. You see how there are three arrows, right? One for believers, one for hypocrites, and the other for disbelievers. You see how the believers and the disbelievers and the hypocrites, they're together initially. But then what happens? The disbelievers, they completely skip certain steps, right? They're taken straight to hellfire. And then later on, what happens? The believers and hypocrites, they're together. But then the hypocrites, they're made to completely cross and pass the hawd, for instance. They will not even benefit from it. Taken directly to a sirat. And then from sirat, again, there will be, you know, literally as a filtration. People are filtered. One test after the other. One stage after the other. This journey is a long journey. And it's a difficult journey. And it's a real journey. Something that each and every single one of us is going to go through. So it's necessary that we understand how this is going to be. So that we remember it and we can face it, we prepare for it, and also that we tell our families about it. So your homework is to share this with your family members. Just put it out somewhere. If you're reluctant to start a conversation, put it out somewhere. You know, recently I went to somebody's house and they had this huge, like a book display thing. And they had a Quran open over there with translation and, you know, certain words highlighted. And somebody asked them that, why do you have this? They said, I just wait for my husband to ask me about any word or any ayah. Because I just hope that, you know, when he's passing from here, hopefully he will catch a word or something. And then this will start a conversation. So if you're able to, if you have the ability to share this with someone immediately, go ahead and do that. But if you have some hesitation, put it out somewhere. Put it out somewhere because this is real. This will definitely happen. And this is something that we must be aware of. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته